You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. I am Dan Keller, and this show is first aired January 17, 2024. Ongoing disagreements between the regional and provincial government for responsibility in funding the programs which support survivors of sexual assault and gender-based violence have left many of those programs chronically underfunded. In Waterloo Region, this underfunding leaves the providers of these programs pleading for donations from local residents. In November 2023, the Sexual Assault Support Center of Waterloo Region announced that they had received a transformative donation of $250,000 from Waterloo-based millionaires Bob and Judy Astley. SASC has said the donation will, quote, go towards a much-needed expansion of SASC's individual counseling program, which has seen unprecedented service requests in recent years, unquote. There are over 200 survivors on the counseling waiting list. This show features interviews with Sarah Castleman, the executive director of SASC-WR, and regional counselor for Cambridge, Pam Wolfe. This show also includes comments provided to CKMS News by the Ontario Ministry of Children, Community, and Social Services. We start with Sarah Castleman of SASC, who discusses the $250,000 donation, the ongoing fundraising the organization has to do to support survivors, and how everyone can help address the quote-unquote silent pandemic of gendered and sexual violence.
I'm Sarah Castleman, and I am the executive director at the Sexual Assault Support Center of Waterloo Region.
Can you tell me about this very large donation your organization received and how it will support the work that you do?
Bob and Judy Astley pledged a transformative donation to our center of $250,000. That is actually $50,000 a year over the next 5 years to support our center's individual counseling program. And that is so meaningful to us because the waiting lists for our individual counseling program have been creeping up in recent years. And we have been calling on our community and funders and governments to help us meet the demand.
Why is this money so desperately needed right now?
Well, it's a combination of so many different factors. In a very simple terms, we have way more survivors reaching out to us for support than we have resources. And so as a community-based sexual assault center, our desire and our goal is always to wrap survivors of sexual violence in our community's care. And so we have at our center, we have a 24-hour support line, we have individual counseling, we have groups, we have supports for folks that are going through court processes or want to report to police. We have practical assistance. There's so many different things that we offer to survivors of sexual and gender-based violence. But the funding for our programming hasn't increased. So over the last decade, if you look at, say, provincial funding to sexual assault centers, we've actually seen a decrease in funding when you account for inflation. At the same time, we've seen about three times as many survivors reach out to support than we did a decade ago. So it's the perfect storm. And particularly, we saw a huge increase in survivors reaching out for support in the post, like hashtag Me Too era. But then we also saw another big spike that hasn't gone down related to the pandemic. The UN talked to us very early on and said, you know, in times of war, natural disaster, or pandemics, gender-based violence increases in communities. And that's what we've seen. And they've actually, the UN's termed it a shadow pandemic.
Earlier this year, a region of Waterloo declared an epidemic of violence against women and LGBTQ plus community members. What actions do you think could be taken at the municipal level to match the urgency of the declaration?
The truth is that this is an issue that municipal governments, provincial government, and federal government all need to be paying attention to and investing in. So locally, we know that the region declared intimate partner violence, gender-based violence, an epidemic in our community. And that's based on so many different things, based on police reports of domestic violence. In Ontario, over the last year, there's been 62 women and their children killed by male violence. And so all these pieces coming together are pointing to an issue that's incredible and huge and impacting so many folks in our community. So we're hoping that the region of Waterloo includes gender-based violence in their community safety and well-being strategy. We hope that the movers and shakers and the politicians look at how to fund services that are overwhelmed with requests for support. And, you know, we're speaking from the Sexual Assault Support Center, but any organization that has a key role in supporting survivors of gender-based violence in our community is experiencing demands higher than resources right now. And I'm so glad that the local governments have seen this issue. And I also would like to see the province declare gender-based violence an epidemic as well, because there's been something like 70 communities across Ontario that have declared it an epidemic thus far.
Is there anyone in a position of power right now pushing for systemic solutions or using their platform to demand the level of action required to address sexual violence and support those who are affected by it?
There are definitely politicians at the local level, at the provincial level, and at the federal level who have taken this on as an issue that they know needs to be addressed in our community. But it needs to be magnified. It needs to be bigger than it is. So I've been at the center in various capacities for 21 years, and I have seen the shifts and change. Like, I remember when we used to have 40 survivors on our waiting list for counseling, and we used to think, like, that's a crisis. When a survivor of sexual violence reaches out for support, they need support now. And you only have to take, you know, one call in our office to understand, you know, the courage that it takes to reach out, the level of need that usually exists by the time someone reaches out. So I remember those days well, and I never envisioned a future. We have more than 200 survivors on our waiting list right now, but there's been times over the pandemic, there's been more than 300 survivors where folks were waiting well over a year for support after they reached out. And for me, it's like, it's not okay that this is the new normal. It's not okay. Survivors deserve our community support when they reach out. And it, you know, for some folks, it's life or death. And it really has an impact on individuals and on families, which means it has an impact on our community.
How much does the request or the demand for your services outstrip the capacity of the organization? How much would be needed, or what is needed on it, like, to actually support people that need the support?
That is a really big question, and there's simple answers and there's not so simple answers. So what we know right now would be really meaningful is to have funding to increase, you know, our counseling team by 3 or 4 counselors. But there's different needs in different programs. But specifically in terms of our waiting list, we know that that would have a really big impact on survivors in Waterloo Region. Right now, we have this wonderful gift that we've received from Bob and Judy Astley. And if there were others in the community that would step up in similar ways, or even a portion of that, it could have a really tangible impact on survivors in our community. I dream of a day where a survivor can reach out for support and get it, and it's readily available, and that we don't have to talk about a year-long waiting list.
At the end of the interview, I asked Sarah how folks could get involved in supporting survivors of sexual assault and challenging the systems which generate the need for organizations such as the Sexual Assault Support Center of Waterloo Region.
It's really important that folks don't consider this someone else's problem. What I've seen is sometimes people think, oh, the provincial government will take care of this, or another donor will take care of this. And the reality is that the need is now. There are survivors waiting now, and we need everyone, every level of government, you know, folks in our community to be stepping up. Any donation is meaningful. You know, a monthly donor signing up helps us plan for our services. So we welcome folks, you know, monthly donations of any amount. We want folks to understand that these are survivors in our community. These are our friends, our family. We know that 1 in 3 women will experience sexual violence at some point in their lifetime. You know, often folks think that it's not going to impact them. And then when it does, they're shocked to see, you know, the waiting lists for support. So every gift is so meaningful to us. So just for folks to, you know, if they're not able to give, then are they able to amplify our messages on social media? Are they able to talk to politicians? Are they able to vote for politicians that make this a priority? And then also, you know, just the preventative work. Are they involved in raising, you know, young men and boys who treat women with respect and equality? Volunteering, that's how I started in this sector. I started as a volunteer at our center in 2002, and then I never left. So there's so many different ways to be engaged in this work, and I encourage folks to visit our website to find out more and to make a donation if they're able.
Now we hear from Regional Councillor for Cambridge, Pam Wolf. Wolf is the Vice Chair of the Region's Community and Health Services Committee. In 2022, SASC made an emergency request for $50,000 to fund their counseling program for survivors of sexual assault and to start to reduce their 200-plus person waiting list. Regional Council voted it down, adopting the staff position that the provincial government was responsible for funding such programs. Then Regional Councillor Elizabeth Clark told the paper Cambridge Today that we are aware counseling services are underfunded, and she added that it doesn't make sense for the region to step up and fund what the province is supposed to be funding. We need more provincial funding ourselves. So my first question is, did the region receive an increase in provincial funding overall or specifically to deal with health services, including counseling around sexual assault?
I know we are definitely underfunded. I know that in this last budget, $180 million of our budget, actually things that the province and the federal government should be doing. Whether they increase any funding to public health, I'm not sure. I know that right now our public health services department does fund SASC $50,000 a year for programming, to help deliver programming that helps youth in the area of their sexual health. But SASC's core services extend beyond that, and we in public health are not able to partner with them for those services because we are not funders of that type of service. Now, saying that, recently we passed the intimate partner violence epidemic, and one of the parts of that was that under a separate pillar, under our community safety and well-being plan, intimate partner violence, gender-based violence would be part of that. And that under that plan, we're partnering with Women's Crisis Services, the Waterloo Regional Police, and basically to lobby the provincial government for the funding necessary to deal with the problem.
The waiting list at SASC grew over the past year and a half. And then in September 2023, Regional Council declared an epidemic of intimate partner violence and violence against women, Indigenous women and girls, and Two-Spirit LGBT. And you seconded that motion. The motion also called for the provincial government to do more on the issue.
Yeah.
Well, has the provincial government taken any of that action?
You know, there might be some funding that's been increased. I also know sometimes funding has decreased in different areas. And obviously the whole problem is like complex. So housing is part of the problem. For instance, our region, I've been working to get a women's shelter in Cambridge. Right now, there is no facilities for women's shelter. So we passed $1.5 million in funding earmarked for that shelter. But right now, we don't have a location. So therefore, obviously, we're not giving operational funding. But we are trying to move forward in that area and are definitely looking right now for a location for the shelter in Cambridge. I know also the women's shelter in Kitchener They feel that their housing there is not adequate, and they're looking for, you know, a new building. We're looking for so many different things, like the Cambridge Food Bank is looking for a new building. They need to expand, and the city of Cambridge is asking them to move. They've got 6 years left on their lease. So there's, you know, so much need. And definitely, unfortunately, municipalities, the region, we depend on property tax, which is not a tax and isn't designed, you know, to fund so many of the social services and things we need. So if the provincial and federal governments, you know, treated cities, regions with more respect in terms of how we can generate funds, it would go a long way to solving these problems, because as you realize, we're on the front lines in addressing all of these problems.
In November 2023, SASC announced a large private donation, $250,000 over 5 years, to fund the counseling program. They have also been pleading for donations from the public to address the massive backlog for people seeking counseling support. Does the region have any plans to increase support for those who have survived this declared epidemic of violence by funding the critical counseling services SASC has been providing? I know it's not in the mandate, but again, it comes down to jurisdiction, but also just responsibility. If things aren't being funded by the province, by the upper levels of government, when do the lower levels of government take it on so it doesn't just fall to private donations to keep critical programs running?
Well, I think the fact is that we have taken on, to a certain extent, to $175 million or $180 million this year alone. So $180 million, you know, is a fair of your property tax, which should be paid for by the either federal or provincial governments, and is so in other provinces. Okay, so, and there is a limit in how much we're allowed to fund. And then there's an argument, if we keep funding these things, will the province, is there any incentive for the province to step in and do what they're supposed to do? You know, they just say, oh, well, let's just download it to the region or to the cities, and they'll do it. Now, lately, I've been impressed with Olivia Chow. She's been able to get some extra funding, definitely from the province, in towards housing and other things. And she's, you know, being very strict with the federal government in terms of money that they should be supplying for services that refugee claimants are getting in Toronto. But, you know, if you look, ask our shelters here, I know the one in Cambridge, 30% of the people staying at the shelter right now are refugee claimants. And we don't get, you know, we're not getting the funding for those, which should come directly from the federal government. So as much as we'd like to fund SASC, and the work they do is, you know, is awesome, and it's so needed, there is a limit that the region can do. I do know that the region plans to set out, like, basically a needs paper and address go to the provincial government and get all of our MPs, MPPs together and say, these are the needs, this is the amount of money, take it to the province, take it to the federal government, and, you know, let's get some action here. We're going to be asking for specific amounts of money for these different programs and these different needs. Who knows, hopefully we'll get some traction.
CKMS News contacted Conservative MPP for Cambridge, Brian Riddle, for comment on funding for programs supporting survivors of sexual assault. While MPP Riddle would not provide a comment, his office did forward CKMS News to the Minister of Children, Community and Social Services, Conservative MPP for Aurora, Oak Ridges, Richmond Hill, Michael Parsa. The minister himself also would not comment. However, the media team for the minister provided CKMS News with the following statements, which claimed million in commitments for victims of violence and violence prevention initiatives, including, quote,
an additional $2.1 million over 3 years, beginning in 2021-2022, to expand victim and sexual assault services in underserved communities, and more than $15 million annually to support sexual assault centers. Unquote. The statement continued, quote, on December 6, 2023, the Ontario government announced it is investing an additional $18.7 million this year to help prevent and address violence against women and girls. The investment is going to approximately 400 existing gender-based violence service providers across the province, including the Sexual Assault Center of Waterloo Region. This investment is intended to help service providers hire more staff, improve services, and increase their ability to provide services to women and children. Unquote. The December 6th announcement from the government works out to less than $50,000 per provider across the province. This show focused on issues around funding for support services for survivors of sexual violence, and featured interviews with Sarah Castleman from the Sexual Assault Support Center of Waterloo Region, and Pam Wolf, Waterloo Regional Councillor for Cambridge, and Vice Chair of the region's Community and Health Services Committee. CKMS News also received a short written statement from the Ministry of Children, Community and Social Services, but was not given time by MPP Riddle or Minister Parsa to discuss the issue. This is Dan Keller for CKMS News on 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. Thank you for tuning in. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Heritage Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program on radiowaterloo.ca/news. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca.